May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 125. 125. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Hymn number 125.
May the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day, thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus said the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. It shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. Kind and ever gracious Lord God Almighty, 'tis indeed of thy mercy we are not consumed. Indeed, thy compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We pray for a truly thankful heart, for all thy many mercies, that this mercy thou hast granted us, to meet around thy word, in thy house once more. Lord, we pray that we may truly be separated unto thyself. We may know what we have read in the words of Jeremiah thy servant. A glorious high throne is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, do be thou our sanctuary this evening. May we truly be at that glorious high throne of thy grace. Help us to come to it even now. We plead, Lord, for grace. Lord, our works condemn us. We plead that thy grace may save us. Lord, be gracious unto us. Oh, do be merciful to our unrighteousness and our sins and iniquities. Remember no more. We pray for thy Holy Spirit. Enable us, Lord, by thy Spirit. Oh, do sanctify us, blessed Spirit of truth, revealing the dear Lamb of God of whom we've sung, blessing us with a living faith in him, that he may be our sanctification, our redemption, our justification, our wisdom, our life, our all. O Lord, do forgive the sins of another day. Lord, we confess that we have done that which we ought not to have, and that we have left undone that which we ought to have. Lord, we plead. Oh, forgive us. And grant us this evening a felt sense of a blood-bought pardon. Oh, soften our hearts in application of that precious blood that did once for sin atone. And Lord, warm our hearts as Thou didst warm the heart of those two on the Emmaus Road. Expound unto us in all the scriptures, we pray, the things concerning Thyself, Lord Jesus. We pray for this people, we seek Thy rich blessing for them, Thy help, Lord, in each one's pathway. And Thy help, Lord, as a church and congregation. Grant, Lord, a living ministry. Hear Thy blessing upon Thy word. And grant thereby the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. O Lord, do save sinners in this place. Through the foolishness of preaching, save them which believe. Oh, may the preaching be with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we shall believe and repent of our sin with a godly repentance that needeth not to be repented of. Do make us real, Lord. Grant real repentance, gospel repentance, the gift of God. Save us from any other repentance which is not true repentance. Oh, we pray, Lord, for that which Thou art exalted to give, repentance and remission of sins. We pray that Thou wouldst bless the families, watch over and keep them and do them good. And early in life, if it might please Thee, call our children, our dear young ones, by Thy grace, grant them the new birth early in life, if it might please Thee. For it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. O Lord, may believers be added to this church. May pillars be maintained, those whom Thou hast placed. Lord, uphold them. May they be favoured to know the everlasting arms beneath, and that they are on the rock, Christ Jesus. And do keep us each upright. Lord, do grant us that wisdom which is from above. Lord, in our own personal cases, in our families, and in the church of God. Lord, oh, wisdom hath hewn out her seven pillars, we read. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may be upheld by wisdom's pillars. Lord, do lead us more and more into the truth in a saving way. Oh, Lord, do draw us near to Thee. Constrain us to take Thy yoke upon us and learn of Thee, who are meek and lowly in heart, that we may indeed find rest for our souls. Oh, Lord, do help the deacons. Uphold them in their office. We thank Thee, Lord, for restoring in a good measure our dear friend and brother that's kindly knitted a broken bone. And pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst And go on to be gracious and strengthen. And others, Lord, at this time. Oh, we seek for them thy healing touch. Thy strengthening hand. Oh, do strengthen the feeble knees. And confirm the feeble knees and strengthen the weak hands. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. Forsake not thy people. Forsake not the churches with which we are connected. But oh, do rebuild those wastes. Rebuild those walls and cause those hedges to grow up again. And drive out, Lord, the boar out of the wood that hath wasted the Zion. Oh, Lord, we pray for a return of former days of great blessing. Lord, it was times of much hardship, naturally speaking. Lord, but they were times of great blessing. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst not leave us to have the desire of our hearts, but leanness to be sent into our soul. Lord, leave us not without those fresh tokens and those fresh visitations of thy good spirit. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest toward thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. And for our country we plead mercy. We thank thee for thy goodness to us as we see another harvest being gathered in and a favour to partake of it. O Lord, how long suffering, what a faithful covenant God thou art. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst restrain the evil. And Lord, do overrule those in authority. Thou hast put them there. Prevent them from doing evil, cause them to do good. And if it might please thee, bring them in their deep troubles, which they are in, and perplexities, Lord, that no human mind can unravel, and human arm can deliver from. To be found in the place King Jehoshaphat was found in, confessing, realizing their own impotency and foolishness, but having their eyes upon thee. Lord, do grant this to each one of us. We seek it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 57. What shall the dying sinner do that seeks relief for all his woe? Where shall the guilty conscience find ease for the torment of the mind? Hymn number 57.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17. Verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. The prayer of the prophet Jeremiah will be suitable for each one of the Lord's people. Day after day after day, from the moment of their new birth, they will feelingly be a sick sinner, a lost sinner. But the Spirit who taught them that will not leave them without a place of refuge, or as Jeremiah said in this chapter, a place of sanctuary. And he said, didn't he, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And Jeremiah is in that place. He is approaching the throne of grace, the glorious grace of Almighty God. Oh, what an attractive sound is the sound of that blessing of grace. What an attractive thing to a sinner who has no works to plead. How thankful they will be when grace is bestowed upon them, when they hear that the Saviour sits upon a throne of grace and sits there, as the hymn writer said, with smiling face. Jeremiah was a very godly man, but he was a sinner. The Lord, apart from the greatest preacher of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord sends sinners to preach. Oh dear, the dear Apostle Paul, he speaks of himself, doesn't he, by the grace of God as a pattern of them that should hereafter believe. Oh, that sinner that obtained mercy. And Paul, he set it forth like this, didn't he? That if I, who am the chief of sinners, have obtained mercy, none need despair of it. And you see in his writings, along with each of those, you think of Ezekiel when he was in that captivity along with his fellow people. He speaks of sitting where the people sat. And that's where Jeremiah is here. And you see, his prayer is firstly then for healing. You don't want healing, do you? Unless you're sick. Shame on us, my dear friend. We often have to have sickness to appreciate health, as we rightly should. It seems as though we have to so often suffer the loss of health to realise what a great blessing it is. Now, when the Lord begins with a person in the work of his sovereign grace, he makes them to feel sick, because they are. Who can fully describe the malady that came upon mankind when he disobeyed God? Total depravity. That's the sickness. From the sole of the feet to the crown of the head, there is nothing in us but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You see, it is before the most holy, righteous God and his holy law that our sickness comes to light. Has the law of God this day made you to be a sick person? You see, sometimes somebody may have a dreadful disease, and I know it's not always so, and eventually, of course, it will manifest itself. But we have heard, haven't we, of people having a dreadful disease, and they are in denial of it. Perhaps they are genuinely ignorant of it. Or perhaps, as is sometimes the case, there is a denial of it. Oh, I'm not so bad. It is only a common complaint. And how often these things are discovered in the means that the Lord has granted in the day in which we live, whereby the inside of us can be viewed. The X-ray, of course, there have been those for many years. And all those scans, those wonderful inventions that the Lord has enabled men to make and to use. And so often the radiographer, the consultant who looks upon those scans with his trained eye. You see, if you and I were to look at those scans, we probably wouldn't know what we were looking at. We wouldn't be able to identify a disease. One woman I knew had breast cancer, and in the Lord's mercy it was discovered because the consultant was especially diligent. There was the tiniest appearance, and treatment was granted to the cure of that disease. Now we could use these natural things to speak of the spiritual, to set forth the spiritual. Because you see, the Lord, he sees right through each one of us. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. You might, as you look upon me in the pulpit this evening, say, well, Mr. Pocock, you seem very healthy. And as far as I know, bodily I am. Though as the years pass, tiredness increases. But you see, you don't know my heart. You don't see me all the time. What did Solomon say when he prayed in the dedication of the temple? When he was seeking the Lord's blessing upon everyone that should look toward that temple, he said of them all, For every man should know the plague of his own heart. The ungodliness, the unbelief, the lust, the pride, the idolatry, the worldliness, the rebelliousness, the stiff-neckedness. We read of it, didn't we, in this chapter? Can you read your description of yourself when you read about the rebellious children of Israel of old? You know, when the Lord convinces us of our sin, we don't have a stone to throw at any of those people. You think of, for instance, the Israelites, when they were bitten by those fiery serpents. Why was it? What had they done? They had murmured against the Lord. And how many times have you murmured against the Lord? Oh, you might not have said the words, but in your heart. Jonah, what dreadful thing did he do that led to him being in the belly of that great fish, that dungeon, the weeds wrapped about his head, the earth with his bars about him forever? What brought him to be cast out, feelingly cast out of the sight of the Lord? He disobeyed the Lord. And how many times have you and I disobeyed the Lord? Today. How many times have we disobeyed the Lord? But you see, part of the sickness is heart trouble. Well, it's all heart trouble, really. Jesus said, from the heart proceed evil thoughts. Is that the way the Lord discovers to you your sickness? You know, before you were called by grace, child of God, and if there are those here this evening who aren't, evil thoughts don't trouble you because you think nobody sees them, but God sees them. And if you have a new heart and a new spirit, he will make those evil thoughts trouble you. Perhaps there is one here this evening and today you've been plagued with those evil thoughts. You knew it was the service in the Lord's house this evening. But could you get your thoughts, your affections on the Lord? Could you get your thoughts toward him? Could you engage your heart to pray unto him for his blessing? Not unless his grace abounded over the sin. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. You see, some people, and this is not the work of the Spirit, some people can glory in their affliction. I don't mean in the way Paul could, by grace. He said, I glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. But you'll hear some people speak of what a wretched sinner they are. And they're there from January to December. They're there from year to year to year. It proves it's not of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. That sinner whom he makes to feel their sickness, in his time, he brings them to the Lord as he brought Jeremiah here. And you see, Jeremiah knew that the Lord could heal him. He had healed him before. And he wanted another healing. He wanted healing from his affliction that he felt this day. One of the things Jeremiah by the Spirit said about the false prophets, and there were those in Jeremiah's day, weren't there? And there are those today. What does Jeremiah say about them? They have healed the affliction of the daughter of my people lightly. They have cried peace, peace, when there is no peace. All these supposed healing, which is only consists in the words of men, is a lie healing. The healing Jeremiah wanted was a real one. He says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." Right to the very bottom of the matter. We understand that in that affliction of tuberculosis, which took so many lives in previous generations, it was known as consumption, wasn't it? It was often spoken of as a flattering disease, because it seemed as though the patient was recovering, only to find in a few days or weeks or months the disease was still there, and it took them and brought them down lower and lower. Mr. Philpott, I think, in one place speaks of the Lord as that divine surgeon of souls. And he uses the illustration of a cancer. And he speaks of the surgeon's knife as being the thorough work of the Holy Spirit in getting right to the bottom of the matter. The surgeon will not stop cutting until, as far as he can discern it, he has removed all the cancerous cells. Perhaps there are those here who are wondering why they have not been healed. Perhaps you look back, some of you, some years, you believe the Lord has been exercising you over that time, and your question is, why haven't I been healed? Well, again, we turn to the prophecy of Jeremiah for this, the interpretation of this matter. The question was asked, wasn't there? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no kind physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? Then if you turn to another prophecy, I believe it's Hosea. The Lord says, when I would have healed Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. The Lord will not heal his people until he has discovered to them their iniquity. It is, as he said to Ezekiel, turn again, son of man. Thou shalt see greater abominations than these. If you look back 5 years, the conviction of sin the Lord granted you then, how is it today? Over those 5 years, for example, Has there been a deeper discovery? You remember the case of the leper, and the priest was the one that was to discern the case of a true leper. And if he came to the law, if he came to the priest with a spot on his skin, some rising there, this priest looks at it, sends him away for 7 days, and he calls him to return and he looks at it again. If it clears up, it is not leprosy. But if there be a spreading, if there be a deepening of it, that man must be declared to be a leper and he must be separated from the congregation. Oh, in the case of a leper, what a dreadful sentence that was. And now it sets forth the sentence that a condemned sinner feels in their heart. And what do they cry out? Do they cry out, oh, why is the Lord dealing with me thus? They cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Heal me, O Lord. Jeremiah, by the Spirit, was found coming to the great physician. Heal me. His name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah undoubtedly knew the word of God. And he knew it by the Holy Spirit. And you see, if you read in the Word of God of how the Lord is the healer of sinners, and if you read in the Word of God of how he has healed sinners, and the Lord gives you faith as you read it, you will come to him and ask him to heal you. The woman with the issue of blood, the reason why she didn't come to Jesus first was because she hadn't heard of him. She'd heard of this doctor and that doctor and the other doctor. And no doubt she had reports of their success in healing people with an issue of blood like she had. But she was one of the Lord's people. Just like Hannah of old. And her deliverance was going to be like Hannah's was. The Lord performing a miracle upon her. When she heard of Jesus, she came behind him in the press, saying in her heart, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Heal me, O Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, the whole of my disease. Discover it, Lord. Do that blessed work of searching out and discovering it. Psalm 139 begins with David saying, thou hast searched me and known me. And it ends with the prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. My heart is like stone, Lord, heal it. My mind is so worldly and carnal, heal it. Oh, my unbelief, Lord. What a plague that is. What a sickness that is. Prayerlessness. Oh, what a sickness. When you think, my dear friend, of how the Church of God has been granted such importunity in prayer, has been granted such grace in prayer. Does it not make you realize your sickness? Heal me, O Lord. Give me the spirit of grace and of supplication. And when you read in the Word of God of how sinners have believed. We were speaking earlier of the woman, the Shunammite woman. Her son lay dead. But when the prophet asks her, is it well? She says, it is well. What faith? Have you been able to say this day by faith, concerning whatever it is in your soul and in your life's pathway and in your family and in the church of God and in the world, it is well? Heal me, O Lord. Heal me. Well, how does the Lord heal his people? He makes some new creatures. He can't heal your fallen nature, my dear friend. That's got to die. It will be healed, but in the resurrection, when it will be changed after it has been sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual one. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How does the Lord heal his people? He grants them by his Holy Spirit all the saving benefits of the glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ, which consists in his doing and in his dying. He heals his people by mercifully and graciously granting unto them his dear Son as their health. We read, don't we, in one place, the saving health of the gospel. We mentioned earlier that word in Jeremiah concerning the balm of Gilead, and we believe we may rightly speak that balm representing the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What does Isaiah say in that beautiful chapter 53? And with his stripes we are healed. That's not a light healing, is it? They shall look on me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him, and be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Is your sickness tonight, my dear friend, you've got an unfeeling heart? Do you say with the hymn writer, the rocks could feel thy powerful death, tremble and asunder break, O rend with thy expiring breath the harder marble of my heart. Heal me, O Lord. Give me that new heart, that new spirit. Lord Jesus, be in me as my health. Blessed Spirit, prompt me. You know, when a person is healed by God, God is doing the whole of that healing. We were speaking earlier about those vain, those evil thoughts. If the Lord heals you, he will give you right thoughts. They will be his thoughts, put in you by the Holy Spirit. We were speaking of prayerlessness. If the Lord heals you of that, the Spirit will be in you, prompting you. Those of you that undoubtedly, like Jeremiah, look back on previous days of health, and you say, why is it? I'm not like that today. You would have not been like it yesterday or whenever it was. had not the Lord graciously ministered unto you? But then you see, he says, heal me. Heal me. It's so personal, isn't it? You know, when the Lord does this in his people, there is hope for his church. You see, a congregation, a church like this, may feel the solemn withholding of the Holy Spirit's power. And it is solemn because without the Holy Spirit's power, we cannot worship. The Word of God cannot do us good. We cannot pray. We cannot believe. We cannot repent. We cannot love. But all the while we're thinking of it as though it's the fault of the whole congregation, but not ours. There is no hope of a remedy soon. When the psalmist spoke of the set time to favour Zion, he said, "Thy servants take pleasure in Zion's stones and favour the dust thereof." Heal me, O Lord. What did Jonah say when the storm was raging? He said to the mariners, "I know that for my sake this storm has come upon us." Have you ever been brought there? You might say to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, it's not your fault." Well, if that was true, that would mean that Jeremiah wasn't a sinner. And we know he was. All of our sins contribute. Each of our sins individually contribute to this matter. Heal me, O Lord. Heal me. And sometimes when there is a disagreement between the Lord's people, there must be disagreement between the Lord's people and the wicked. If there isn't, it's solemn. But it's solemn when there is disagreement between the Lord's people. And of course, the cause is sin. And left to ourselves, we only see the faults of the other person, don't we? Are you without fault? Am I without fault in the matter? No. I'm not saying that there aren't those situations in which the particular behaviour of one person is causing the discord. And we pray that in that case the Lord may heal. But you see, it's us as well. Heal me, O Lord. Give me sight. Give me hearing. Give me a feeling heart. Give me the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you see the Lord uses his word to heal his people. How often, almost in every case, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth in the flesh, it was through his word that people were healed. Oh, do you sometimes read of those cases? and wish the Lord would do the same for you. We need to do more than wish. Wishing won't bring it. Prayer will. But you see, the healing word. He sent his word and healed them. Heal me. This was the exercise. This was the desire of the serpent-bitten Israelites, wasn't it? They asked Moses to pray to the Lord for them. And he used his word in healing them. He commanded Moses to make that serpent of brass and set it on the pole. And he gave the promise. You see, what a cure for unbelief is the Lord speaking a promise with his power. Heal me, Lord. Speak to me in such a way as that which thou sayest will be believed by me. That which thou sayest will be received into my heart, and it'll have the healing effect there. Haven't you sometimes come into the house of God feeling to be so sick? And the Lord has blessed his word to you, and you have been healed. You felt that hardness melt away. You felt the world which had become so great in your mind, that world to be nothing. You'd felt those things that you'd been so careful and troubled about to be removed from you, and they were the least thing. What did it? The word of the Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. With his stripes we are healed. When you are sick, my dear friend, aren't you? I am sick. In that we can read of it. We can preach of it. We can listen to sermons concerning the Saviour's sin-atoning death, the shedding of his precious blood, and we are not healed. But the promise says, and with his stripes we are healed. It means that the Holy Ghost will so reveal Christ in his sin-atoning death unto us that we shall be healed. Going back to the serpent-bitten Israelites, one look at the brazen serpent, though it be to some so far from them, they cannot see it clearly, but there's a glint of that brazen serpent in the light of the sun, and that was enough. Heal me, O Lord. You think of the waters of Marah. Moses again prayed unto the Lord concerning those waters. And the Lord showed him a tree which when he cut it down and cast it into the waters were made whole. There he made for us a statute and an ordinance. There he proved us. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, that will heal you of your lack of love. The spouse says, doesn't she, I'm sick of love. I'm sick of love. Oh, there was this love to her beloved. But she didn't have him with her. That's one sickness of love. Another sickness of love is when we feel to be so destitute of it. You see, love is so vital to the health of our soul. So vital. You think of a marriage between a man and a woman according to God's holy ordinance. There may be many things in that marriage, but if love is missing, it's no marriage. And you may have many things, my dear friend, in your supposed relationship with God. But if love is missing, you do not know what John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth the bridegroom's voice rejoiceth greatly because of his voice. I charge you that if you see my beloved, you tell him that I am sick of love. Heal me. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. I shall be healed. Lord, thou art God, that able to heal the sickest. Thou art able to completely heal him. Change a person completely. Oh, how different a person is when they are healed by God. It's not that they've just got a different appearance. Though we think of Moses when he came down from the mountain, his face shone. And that was in the giving of the law, the presence of the Lord. You see, it was a heart matter. Heal me and I shall be healed. Heal me of my guilt. That hymn you sung just now. You come in here this evening tormented in mind. Where shall we get our crimes forgiven? How can we fit our natures for heaven? We can't. Oh, how wonderfully the Lord can heal sinners. We mention Paul, how he healed him. And he healed him again and again and again, didn't he? That's what we need. Speak that healing word, Lord. Reveal thyself. Oh, the transformation when the Lord reveals himself. Save me, and I shall be saved. Now, Jeremiah was a saved sinner. This is not the prayer of a man who has not known salvation. How he had known it. You see, he's saying these words, he's praying this prayer. After that time when the Lord had called him by his grace and spoken to him graciously, told him that he loved him with an everlasting love. He said, he hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He's speaking this prayer, he's praying this prayer after that time when the Lord sent him to preach. Say not, I am a child. Thou shalt go to whomsoever I send you. I will give you words to speak. So this isn't the prayer of a man who hasn't before known what salvation is. It's the prayer of a man that knows day by day he needs salvation as a reality. Not yesterday. Not last week, not last year, not 50 years ago. Today. Today. though the Lord's people cannot possibly fall from grace, though that work that the Holy Spirit has begun will never be overturned, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The very nature of that work in a person who is, while here below, in a condition where there are enemies and sins and fears and troubles they need saving from. There's a hymn, isn't there? And I think it's every verse, it praise the prayer, save me, O God, my spirit cries. And he goes on to speak of the things he feels to need saving from. I thought of the wonderful time when the angel of the Lord told Joseph what he and Mary must call the child that is to be born unto her. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Are you anxious this evening, my dear friend, to know you're one of his people? It's been a burden, especially with me recently in speaking in the Lord's name, knowing that it won't be long before I have to lay down my labours and give account to my master for what I've said. The Word of God makes it clear that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way you can really know salvation in the fullness of it. Oh, there are many things in our providences, in our daily lives, temporal things in which we need saving. But it is our soul, isn't it? It is to have our sins washed away. It is to know the Father and his Son. Jesus said to his Father in John 17, this is life eternal, they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Zacharias, under the power of the Spirit, he speaks of God giving the knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins. And my warning is this: may none of us be left to rest short of that. You may have had answers to providential prayers. If you are one of the Lord's people, he won't let you conclude from that that you're a saved sinner. Again and again the Lord Jesus spoke of the way in which a sinner is delivered from perishing and given eternal life, and every time it was faith in the bleeding lamb. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now to pray to be saved must mean that you feel to be in danger. And such a danger you can't deliver yourself from. How wonderfully Jonah was saved out of the belly of hell, out of the belly of that fish. How was it? He looked toward God's holy temple. Lord, save me, as thou didst save Jonah. Give me a believing look, Lord, toward thy holy temple. Save me. I mention in prayer Jehoshaphat on that well-known occasion: we've no might against this great company, and neither know we what to do. That may be as in Jehoshaphat's case with some of you here this evening, with regard to outward visible enemies. But you've got a greater enemy than all those. Save me, O Lord. This host within. These sins, this wretched heart, this perverseness, this ungodliness, this idolatry, save me from it, Lord. Save me, O Lord. Oh, what a cry it is. How many have cried this cry, and the Lord has answered it. Read Psalm 107. You see there the Lord's people keep getting into trouble. Oh, you may wonder, if I was one of the Lord's people, and perhaps the devil tells you, if you were one of the Lord's people, all these things wouldn't have happened to you. But that's a lie, isn't it? The scripture says the opposite. The scripture says that if you are one of the Lord's people, all these things will happen to you. But it says that the Lord will, who is in control of all these things, will balance them perfectly to accomplish his end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he heareth them and delivereth them from their distresses. Save me, O God. And you know the prayer, save me. It's on the ground of his free and sovereign grace. It's him doing the whole of it. When we pray to be saved, we have no thought that we can put anything towards that. And how true that is. Remember what his name means. He shall save. Oh, what a great Saviour he is. I will give them a Saviour and a great one. That law that you have broken and cannot keep, he fulfilled. That devil you cannot stand against, he stood against. And that great debt you cannot pay off. You haven't got a mite to pay. He purchased his people. He redeemed them. His name is Redeemer. He couldn't be called Jesus if he wasn't the Redeemer. So freely, so blessedly, so willingly, he gave himself. Now that's salvation. Save me. And if he speak it, you think of those words the Saviour spoke to the disciples after he rose from the dead. And there was salvation in every one of those words. He used the scriptures, the sermon on the road to Emmaus, expounding in all the scripture, Lord, oh, save me by expounding unto me in all the scriptures the things concerning thyself, and I shall be saved. Lord, if thou do it, it will be done. You see, Jeremiah here, he has the faith that the leper had in Matthew 8. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Save me, O Lord, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. For thou art my praise. Someone might say, well, Jeremiah, if the Lord is your praise, why do you need to be healed? Why do you need to be saved? Surely, if the Lord is your praise, You don't need healing or saving. You are in health. You are saved. Thou art my praise. The key to it, I believe, is the word of the psalmist where he says, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. The Lord is his praise. That's why he's praying to him. Because he is his praise. You see, Jeremiah spoke well of the Lord. By the Holy Spirit's enabling, he set the Lord before the people. Because in the Lord was Jeremiah's trust, in the Lord was Jeremiah's hope. He says later on, be not a terror to me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. And Lord, if thou heal me, if thou save me, I shall praise thee. I shall have another cause to praise thee. When the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dream. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. You see, we think of that Ebenezer stone that the Lord commanded Samuel to erect. He raised that Ebenezer stone. It was the praise. It was a physical a memorial of the wonders that the Lord had wrought. And how often, undoubtedly, to a poor pilgrim travelling in that part of the country, the Lord used it as an encouragement. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. Tonight, my dear friend, whatever trouble you're in, may you hear the word of the Lord by his prophet Jeremiah. Thou art my praise. For that reason. Oh, how worthy he is of praise. And the way to the praising of him is the confession to him of your sin and the supplication for his mercy. If thou, dear Lord, so base a wretch wilt save, then all the glory shall redound to thee. While here and when I reach beyond the grave, my soul shall sing salvation full and free. And it comes to me like this, and I'll close with this. Really, whenever anyone truly prays, heal me, save me, it is with this in view. The Lord is my praise. You see, the prayer of faith, that seeing of the Lord by living faith, that believing on him in sufficient measure to pray this prayer unto him, means your eye is on him. He is your praise in that sense. I've got no praise, I've got no confidence in myself. I've got no praise, I've got no confidence in earthly physicians. Thou art my praise. Jeremiah was, by the Spirit, resolved to look in one direction. resolve to plead in one way, and you see it's the thing that the Lord is to be praised for. Thou Almighty God, I praise Thy almighty power. The truth that I know, Lord, that Thou canst heal me. Isn't that praising Him? Thou art my praise. Amen.
Let us close with hymn number 579. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. He speaks, and that almighty voice proclaims His grace abroad. Hymn 579.
O Lord, we thank thee for thy word, for the assurance that Jeremiah's prayer was heard. The inhabitants shall not say, I'm sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven all their iniquities. O, do grant us that full healing and full salvation in being brought to see thee as thou art and love thee from an unsinning heart. And do watch over and keep us as we separate. Grant that there may be that remaining and abiding. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.